Of course, one of the great truths about the Bible is that the Bible is a book about God and a book about man's soul. And the issues of God, the issues of man's soul do not change. They're time. Of course, we're in captivity, 486. Not 586, they were conquered by the Babylonians and went into captivity for 70 years. And they went into captivity because they disobeyed God. And God gave them a reprieve, and a number of thousands of them returned to Israel under the decree of King Cyrus. We just heard about him a couple minutes ago. And they started rebuilding the temple. And, of course, this is paralleled with Haggai, Zechariah, the minor prophets. they quit temporarily building the temple. Then they began again and finished the temple. In the process, God brought Ezra to Israel as well, back to the land with another contingent of exiles. And Ezra really became a man who taught the Bible to the people of God. And, you know, you would think that things would go well and that people of God would have learned their lesson. But in Ezra chapter 9, we find after all these good things have taken place that they have gone back to their old ways of disobedience. And we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll get to the introduction of the message. Verse 1, now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands. And, of course, just an introductory thought, separation has always been the major problem of the people of God throughout their history and still is the problem today. And they have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations. They've got a culture problem. We have a culture problem today, right? And the people of God had a culture problem. And people of God today have a real problem with a culture problem, not listening to the Bible, but listening to the culture. And that's why Christianity is weak-kneed and apathetic and powerless and worldly, etc. It says, they have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites and Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. And that was what they were warned of in Leviticus chapter 16. For they have taken of their daughters to themselves and to their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. Amazing. The leaders of God were leading this apostasy, same thing as today. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garments and my mantle, plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. And then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. And I said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up under the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to the captivity, to the spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space grace has been given shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in this holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to the other with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and of good, the good, eat the good of the land and have it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all this has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that thou, O God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve and hast given us such deliverance, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no tenant, remnant, nor escaping? Wow. And O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it were this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. And we go on. Verse 10 of chapter 10, and Ezra the priest stood up and said, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. But the people are many, and it's a time of much rain, and we are not able to stand without, neither is this a work of one day or two, for we are many that have transgressed in this thing. Now, let our rulers of all the congregation stand, and let all them which have taken strange wives in our cities come at appointed times, and with them the elders of every city and the judges thereof, until the fierce wrath of our God for this matter be turned from us. Quite a situation. And we understand a great truth here that we know in the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is a timeless principle of the Bible, is that sin and iniquity destroys a people and destroys its land and brings great ruination. We recognize that that man has a real problem. And not only does, there's obviously two groups of people here. We have the heathen. The heathen are going to act like heathen. But the problem is, it's the people of God that are the real problem. Because the people of God, instead of following God, they look to the world and get their morals and their culture from a heathen world, and then God has to judge them and judge the nation, et cetera. Of course, we are really in the midst of that right in America today, as we understand what's going on in our world today. And we need to have a right perspective of life and of the way life works, and we need to really get a good grip as to how we are supposed to respond to the hour in which we live. And I think this gives us some great insight as to understanding the hour in which we live, the causes and the problems and the solutions. And I think that as we think of the solutions of the world in which we live in today, there's three principles I'd like to talk about. And this is a spiritual war. Thank the Lord. The Lord said, I'll build my church and the gates of God, hell will not prevail against it. Amen. And greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. But I see three important principles that are not only apply to you and I, but they apply to Christians as a whole, and they apply to our nation as a whole. And I see that the first principle here is that the people of God need to stand on righteousness. You know, there has to be, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of the world. In that context, it says, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, I was witnessing to a man today, and we didn't get a lot into the gospel, but I got to speak to some with him, gave him a tract, and told him what repentance is. He had no idea what repentance was, and et cetera. He just thought he was saved, but he had no idea of repentance, et cetera. And it was interesting what he said. He said, you know, it used to be, I brought up Supreme Court and banning the Bible and prayer in school. I believe that's 1963, is that right? And he said, it used to be Christians were the silent majority. He says, now they're the silent minority. Silent. Silent. And, you know, it's all about a perspective of life. That's what it's all about. And the Bible tells us that there is a key to the blessing of God. There is the key to the blessing of God upon a nation or a people. And it's very simple. You know what it's called? Righteousness. Obeying God. Obeying the Bible. Keeping his commandments. That's the key. Why did Israel get judged? Why? Because they weren't standing. They weren't standing on right. They weren't standing on truth. They weren't standing in this spiritual battle. He had to stand. And we have a whole spirit of our society, and especially Christians, that they don't want to stand. They want to just be melt. They just want to be wimpy. And if you want to, and they want to, they're just like the liberals. They mock people who believe the Bible, and they mock people who say we got to obey the Bible, and they mock people. They call them legalists. They call them whatever you want to call them. You know what? They don't understand the spiritual battle. They don't understand the spiritual battle. And young people, you got to get it. You got to get it. The spiritual battle is you have to stand for righteousness. You have to obey the Bible. It's not about obeying the Bible and getting God's grace. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what is right. You can't stand in this spiritual battle unless you are standing on obedience to God. The people of Israel, they're just in oblivion. Oblivion. They weren't standing. The culture around them was wicked, and it appealed to their flesh. Oh, they wanted that. That wasn't standing, was it? That's not standing at all. And you know, the majority of Christians, they don't want to be different than this culture. They want to fit right in, right? Just like the Rhino Republicans in Washington, D.C. They have no backbone, no character. And there are so many Christians, they are all about what the world says. Why don't we start thinking about what God says? We need to stand. You see, that's the principle, stand. Righteousness exalts a nation. And a sin is a curse to any people. Righteousness. You young people, you need to be saying, man, I want to know what's right. I want to do what's right. I'm going to stand for what's right. I don't want to offend God. I want God's blessing. So this first principle is a principle of standing. You have to stand. And to stand means, we use that phrase, take your stand. Amen? Take your stand. Don't be ashamed of what's right. Everybody is trying to be, you know, I know I can't put on the billboard all the things I think every day. I thought about today, I say, moral perversion is still sin. I thought about putting that one on there today. Moral perversion is still sin. You know, somebody needs to say it. We shouldn't be afraid of saying, but you know, there's a principle. Israel forgot to stand. And you know, when they forgot to stand, they lost God's blessing. We have to stand. Without the Lord's blessing, you know, it's not about gaining grace. No, no, no. It's just love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That's what it is. Now, there's another principle that is related to that. And we see that in Ezra. And I think the second principle is the principle of resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, there's an activeness here of standing against evil. There is a principle of standing for what is right and doing what is right. That is a basic principle. And don't minimize that. And you know, that's not popular today. That's not popular. Oh, that's old fashioned. Just, you know, let me ask you a question. How's Christianity doing? How's Christianity doing? It's not doing so well. Need to get back to understanding, just stand. But now we need to resist. Now here's Ezra. I love it. Ezra, what does he do? He reacts to this, doesn't he? He doesn't run away. He reacts to it. He, first of all, he's resisting in prayer. He's confessing the sins of the people to God. He is resisting this. And he's not being silent about this. He's not being apathetic. You know, as I read history, and I think people need to read Baptist history. I think people need to read Baptist history. This idea of not doing anything is foolishness. You read about Baptist history in Virginia, they were petitioning the state over and over and over and over and over. In every place they were persecuted, they responded. They went to the authorities and they petitioned, and they didn't give up, and they didn't submit. They resisted. That's why we have religious freedom in America. The only nation in the world ever had religious freedom. First nation ever in the world. Why? Because people who were saved stood and resisted oppressive religious and powers and governmental powers. And there was a resistance. You know, I think that there's some resistance coming up in America with some people. I'm not sure how much resistance there is in churches. But you know, the devil is not going to be defeated unless we have resistance. Resist. Stand against it. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Push back. And you know, the Lord is teaching me that. Just don't be a blob. Do something. I called Walmart today. I called Walmart. And had to wait a few minutes to get to a person. And I called Walmart. And I says, I'm very unhappy with Walmart for mocking Senator Hawley about the electoral vote. I'm very unhappy. And I think that I'm going to do the best I can to boycott Walmart. And the lady says, well, you know, I didn't know about this until this morning. And I got to work and they said that, you know, someone told me about this and someone had inadvertently mocked Senator Hawley about standing up against this electoral college fraud vote in these states. And it was just a personal tweet. It was meant to go to somebody, you know, some personal person. And I said, I don't believe that 1 minute. I don't believe that 1 minute, ma'am. And I know that you don't believe it either. I know you're just doing your job. And you're being real nice, but I says, you don't believe that. I said, you know, China, Walmart has 1,000 stores in China. They get 5% of their profits in China. I says, I think the Walmart needs to do some house cleaning at the top of the, you know, at the top tiers here. And, you know, thank you for being kind and have a great new year, et cetera. You know, I wouldn't have done that a year ago. But people need to hear that. We need to resist. But you know, it's more than political. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual issue. You know, how many times have you heard someone say, this is just an illustration. Well, I go to such and such a church, and I like the church, but the music is horrible. How many times have you heard that? You know what that is? That's the opposite of what you're supposed to do. You know that? The Bible says, of course, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Now, they should be obeying God. But they're just playing namby-pamby. They're not resisting the devil. They're not resisting the devil. It's a spiritual problem. And you know, that's an attitude. That's an attitude. And you know what? You might be in the school and you know, you got some people that are lukewarm or they're even scorners. You know, don't just put up with it. Don't just put up with it. Resist it. Amen? Resist it. You know, I just heard a guy is suing his public school. A student is suing his public school. I think that needs to happen all over America. And I think university students ought to sue their university for wasting their money and filling their ears with propaganda. You see, there must be some resistance. This is a spiritual problem. Just like that guy told me today, oh, Christians are silent. Yeah, Christians are silent. And the church that he goes to, they aren't even opened yet. Well, they swallowed the whole pill, didn't they? They swallow the whole pill. But you know, that's not all there is to it. We have to stand. We have to understand that righteousness and what is right and what is morally right, and that includes a lot of things. You know? It's not just you know, Quantico Baptist Church preaches this and you know they're weird and they're strong. And wait a minute, what does the Bible say? That's what counts? What does the Bible say? That's the issue. Don't be silenced by be afraid of a wicked culture. It's going to hell. Don't try to be like them. Don't get their approval. Now, but you know, in all of that, there has to be another, there has to be something else. There has to be a going forward. You know, it's not enough to stand. It's not enough to resist. There has to be a positive going forward. We could stand and we could resist forever and die. You know that? There's good people that's standing and they're resisting, but they're going to die. You know why? Because the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, that's what we need to be focusing on. I mean, we need to be standing, we need to be resisting, but what about going forward? In the year 2021, we need to be focusing, how are we going to go forward with the gospel? How are we going to reach people for Jesus Christ? And you know what that means? That means how are we going to get God's power? That means how much we're going to have to pray. How much we're going to have to do. There has to be commitment. You know, going forward involves commitment. There comes to be a time that we have to get back to not only fighting the devil and not being afraid of the devil, but fighting the devil, not being silent, but boldly going forth with the gospel. People need to hear the gospel. How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Now, that's pretty serious. We have to determine that we're going to be a part of a forward movement. Now, this is how I deal with it personally. And I've dealt with this battle for my whole life, but probably become more acute in the last few years, is that if I don't pass out a tract or talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ that day, I consider my day a failure. Because I've done nothing to go forward. When the Bible says they went, it's not only, you know, it really is, you know, the next notch is you be satisfied talking to one person. That's even, in some ways, we have to be ashamed of ourselves. When there's people everywhere. You know what I mean? There's people everywhere that need to be saved. There's people everywhere that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And so we get back to this whole principle of going forward. And what does it take to go forward? Well, we have to have the Holy Spirit's power. And you can't have the Holy Spirit's power if you're not standing on righteousness. It just isn't possible. We need God's power. We need to be focused on the right things. And really, I hope that President Trump is able to overcome all the fraud of these wicked people. And I'm totally 100% convinced the election was stolen. There's not a question in my mind about it. But you know what? That's not the answer. That's not the answer. The answer is there's millions of people need to be saved. And if it isn't, and we're going to have that spirit of, you know, isn't it refreshing hearing Brother Jeremy, people coming to Christ? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So, three principles. Standing on righteousness. Yeah, that is almost strange. And I know I'm pounding on the brick here, but tell you what, we got to get back to wanting to obey God and do right. And live a holy life. And there needs to be a pushback, a resistance in our own lives, and a spirit of resisting the devil. That's really what it is. And there has to be this spirit of going forward, pushing ahead. You know, constantly we have to be, and as a church, we have to be constantly thinking about pushing forward, pushing forward, pushing forward. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's a real trial. It's a real test. It's a real opportunity. But it's exciting to have these principles. I want to just end with, I read this last night about this great preacher. And his name is Zacharias Morrell. They say he's one of the greatest preachers in Texas ever. And it says that he went to Texas. And he said the anti-missionary forces had made inroads into Texas. But Morrell formed the first missionary Baptist church in the state of at Washington on the Brazos River with 8 members in 1837. As a champion of missions, temperance, Sunday schools, and education, he stamped his impression upon the early labor in his adopted state. He organized churches, associations during his years of labor. Morrell was very outspoken in what he believed, and he had no fear in excoriating politicians or religious leaders when he felt they were to be censured. He believed that the Bible should be wielded as a sharp two-edged sword and referred to the Bible as the old Jerusalem blade. Moreover, Morrell counteracted much of the anti-mission sentiment of the hard shells. And when the doctrines of Alexander Campbell presented themselves, penetrated the state of Texas, again, Morrell led the battle in defeating the heresy. What would one expect from a preacher who was not afraid to contend with Satan, with the Bible, or fight Indians with his rifle? On one such occasion, Morrell was preaching 45 miles from home when Indians attacked and killed 2 in the congregation. After pursuing the Indians, he returned, buried the dead, consoled the grieving, and then, by cover of night, traveled home. He knew that he was liable to be attacked at any moment, but he persevered as the servant of God. His frontier style of ministry fit well the rugged atmosphere of the Old West. It is estimated that in 1835, when he first arrived in Texas, there were no more than 50 Baptists of all varieties in the state. But by the time of Morrell's death in December 1883, there were more than 80,000 missionary Baptists in 60 associations. Wow. I tell you what, think he was a man who was pressing forward? Yeah, he is a man who's pressing forward. That's what we need today. That spirit of pressing forward, that spirit of not being afraid of the devil, but just fighting him and doing the will of God and doing it with faith and with God's power. Well, those are some thoughts for the new year. That's what I had in my heart tonight. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight that we live in a special hour in our country, a special hour in the world. And Lord, we know that you're in charge. And Lord, we know that your power hasn't subsided. And evil men cannot out-trick you. And the devil can't either. And Lord, I pray that we would not be put to sleep by the compromisers about the religious charlatans, by the weak-kneed Christians who love the world and are enticed by the world and love the flesh and don't even know what the flesh is. But Lord, help us to stand for old-fashioned righteousness and holiness, and because we want to be right with you. We want to obey you. We want to please you, Lord. We want your blessing. And it can't come, Lord, if we are in opposition to you. Help us to love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, and to love the commandments of the Bible and to do them. And Lord, help us to resist. And Lord, we're learning that if we don't resist, the devil will trample right over us. And help us, Lord, that we realize that we have to do it in your strength and your power, but we don't have to be afraid, but that we can go forward. Encourage your people, Lord, to resist the world in their home and in their lives, and to put all that the world is flashing at them, just throw it away. And I pray that, Lord, that you'll help us to go forward in this year as we look at great opportunities. And Lord, we need to have that spirit of spreading the gospel. And Lord, we want it more than just be witnesses. Lord, we want to see people converted. Lord, we want to see genuine conversions. And Lord, whatever it is, you have to teach us to be that kind of vessel that you could use. Might you teach us, Lord, but help us to see souls all around us as people who need the gospel. Help us to be people who say, here am I, Lord, every day. Help us, Lord, to be willing to talk to people and to strike up conversations with people just for the express purpose of being able to witness to them and get the gospel to them. And so, Lord, give us a vision to reach souls right here in Maquonago and for the going forward of this church. Get a hold of young people, Lord. And we pray that you might work in a very special way in this year and in the people of God in this place tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is maybe speaking to your heart. Maybe you just recognize that your spiritual life is kind of namby-pamby, kind of weak, kind of soft, kind of just roll over and play dead with all that's going on. And you've lost a sense of what it takes to make a difference for God and to have God's blessing. And the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight about that very principle, standing unashamedly on the righteousness of God's word. And maybe you need to find out what that is. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about kindly and sweetly resisting what is going on, and not just being silent, but more than that, that we would be a people who has a focus to be a witness for Christ and not be ashamed, not to be embarrassed for Jesus, but to want to be a vessel. The Lord has spoken to you tonight so many ways that he could have, but you know what it is. Maybe it's even tonight you're not saved. And if you died tonight, it'd be a terrible, terrible thing because you haven't accepted Jesus, the Savior, as your Savior. When tonight you could just do that. You can turn from your sin and turn to him as a lost sinner and let him be your Lord and Savior and mean it. He would be glad to save you. And you're here tonight, say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart about just what I ought to be for God as we face the new year. Anyone here today? Okay, see a number of different hands. Praise the Lord. Others? Okay. Anyone else? God has spoken to your heart what you ought to be for God in this new year. Okay. Lord, I do thank you for speaking to a number of hearts and for hands and what that represents. And Lord, might we truly respond in such a time as this, Lord, to take our place for Jesus Christ. And Lord, instead of seeing defeat, seeing every situation as an opportunity for victory and for souls to come to Christ, empower your people. We pray for any soul that is here tonight that has not bowed their knee to Jesus Christ, that tonight they would come to him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.